Hi, ghoulies, and welcome to The Grave Veil, where we dive into unsolved true crime and give our supernatural take on what could have happened. I'm your host, Sierra Nizance, a seasoned investigator with an insatiable curiosity for the unexplained.
And I'm Polly Andriam, your nocturnal guide through the shadows of unsolved crimes and occult mysteries.
And together, we'll try to solve the unsolvable with our unique intuition into The Grave Veil. Quick interlude to address the mortal need for hydration. Liquid Death is my go-to for annihilating thirst. The cans are infinitely recyclable, making it the perfect choice for those who care about the future. Today's episode, we are diving into one of the weirdest mysteries of the last decade, Elisa Lam and the eerie Cecil Hotel. Polly, why don't you give us some backstory on the case?
Elisa Lam was a 21-year-old Canadian woman who gained widespread attention due to her mysterious and tragic incident in 2013.
Oh, I didn't realize she was Canadian.
She was visiting from Vancouver, Canada. Her parents immigrated from Hong Kong to Canada before she was born.
Oh my gosh, I just watched this thing about Seth Rogen, and he's from Vancouver.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. And did you know that, like, the majority of Vancouver is Asian American? He was, like, a minority.
I never heard that. Are they Asian American or?
Oh, well, yeah. Asian Canadian. Good point. Okay. Yeah.
Well, on January 31st, the 21-year-old went missing while staying at the Cecil Hotel, which is located in downtown Los Angeles, California. Her disappearance sparked a massive search effort, and her friends and family were deeply concerned. Initial search efforts turned up some concerning stories about her erratic behavior. The fact she was initially rooming with strangers in a dorm-style room, but after complaints, she was moved to her own room, despite only paying the dorm rate.
Wait, what's dorm-style rooms? Like, what sort of hotel is the Cecil?
Did you watch the American Horror Story Hotel season?
Actually, I started watching a little bit. That's the one with Lady Gaga, right?
Yeah. She's awesome in that. I love that.
Yeah. I know it's like a creepy rundown hotel and it's like haunted by the guest from like their glory days or something. And I think, isn't Lady Gaga like a vampire in it or something?
Yeah, she's the hotel owner and also dines on some of the guests.
Oh, lovely.
Well, that hotel is based on the Cecil. Oh, okay. The writers took many of the ideas of the hotel in the American Horror Story directly from the Cecil. They're both located in what's now a shady part of LA. They were built in the 20s as grand luxury hotels, and they've both been hosts to mysterious deaths and infamous serial killers as guests.
Wait, killers? You're saying multiple serial killers stayed there?
Yes. The known serial killers that stayed here are Jack Underwicker, aka the Austrian Ripper, and Richard Ramirez, the Night Stalker. Wow. And they both stayed there during their killing sprees.
Oh my gosh. Like, why would multiple serial killers choose the Cecil to call home?
Well, construction started in 1924 to be a destination hotel. It opened its doors, however, in 1927, but it cost over $1 million to build the 700-room luxury hotel. It had a marble lobby, stained glass windows, palm trees, an opulent staircase, just like the one in American Horror Story.
Got $1 million? That was probably like a gajillion in the 1920s.
Especially since the Depression hit hard only 2 years after opening. And it caused the whole area of downtown LA where the Cecil is located to be the epicenter of homelessness, which still exists today. And it's known as Skid Row.
Oh, yeah. Like the what's the movie with the plant that eats people?
The Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes, Little Shop of Horrors. There's like a whole song. Down on Skid Row. You know that song?
Well, that's where the Cecil's located today. And
is it still there?
It's still there, but it's known as another name.
Oh,
it's
okay.
The same hotel. Mm. Well, once the Depression hit, it spiraled the Cecil into complete vacancy. And in order to stay open, they had to greatly reduce their rates and offered cheap weekly rates and even cheaper group-style dorm rooms, like seen in hostels in Europe. They also had private rooms that share a bathroom, like the one Elisa got moved to.
Yeah, I can't share a bathroom. That's crazy.
The once beautiful hotel gained a reputation as a meeting place for all the city's degenerates. Worse yet, the reputation for death, which locals nicknamed the hotel the Suicide.
Okay, so like, but how many deaths are we talking about here?
Well, besides the suicide, suspicious deaths, and overdoses, which there were many, there were also a few murders inside the hotel.
Ugh, like what?
Well, in 1944, Dorothy Purcell gave birth in the Cecil and then threw her live baby out of the window.
Oh, God, that's horrifying.
Well, it gets worse, because in 1964, the unsolved murder of retiree Pigeon Goldie Osgood, nicknamed because she liked to feed the pigeons, was found beaten, raped, and murdered, and her killer was never caught.
Oh my gosh.
Or in 1962, George Gianni was a pedestrian just walking by when he was killed by Pauline Otten when she allegedly jumped to her death after an argument with her husband.
Oh my God, it's not even safe to walk by the place.
Yeah. It's also rumored to be the last place Elizabeth Short stayed, a.k.a. the Black Dahlia. And it was the last place she was seen before her murder in 1947.
Oh my gosh. I love stories about the Black Dahlia. We should do an episode on her. Like, I feel like I know what happened to her.
Oh, I love that. Let's add her to the list.
Awesome.
But now back to Elisa and her mysterious death.
Right. I mean, the Cecil on its own is so fascinating. We just keep getting sidetracked.
Well, it definitely had its part to play, because 2 weeks after Elisa's disappearance and the search was already suspended, guests started reporting a foul-smelling stench and low water pressure
from
the hotel's tap water.
Oh, my gosh.
Guests even saw a brownish-blackish tint to their water.
Oh.
And the water smelled of decay. Some guests even complained about the taste of the water.
Oh my God. Please don't tell me they're drinking like dead people soup.
Ew. That is exactly what they were drinking. Because the investigation into the poor water quality is what eventually found her 19 days after her disappearance. She was found bloated in the water tank on top of the hotel, partially clothed, although some reports say totally nude. She was floating deceased in the water tank.
Oh my gosh, poor Elisa. Partially clothed, now that sounds suspicious.
Well, her clothes, watch, and room key were found at the bottom of the tank, and there were no signs of violence or assault found in the autopsy. And the first ruling of her death was ruled accidental. The clothing, however, is the least suspicious part.
Oh, really? What's the most suspicious part?
The most sus part of this whole story is the surveillance footage.
Okay, what's on the footage?
The police department released surveillance footage from the hotel's lift the day of Elisa's disappearance. The video showed Elisa acting strangely, pressing multiple buttons on the lift, and she appeared to be talking to someone that may have been right outside. She also exhibited erratic hand gestures and seemed to be having a conversation with someone who isn't visible.
Well, I mean, we don't really know. She could have been having a conversation with someone outside the elevator, or maybe having a conversation with ghosts that live there.
Yeah, it's possible there was someone just out of the frame and they weren't caught on video.
Or she was a medium. With all the deaths in that place, there had to be spirits.
It is rated LA's most haunted hotel.
Mm.
Besides the lift footage, there is no other footage of her leaving the hotel or being seen with anyone besides the mysterious entity she's conversing with.
Wow.
The footage of the lift went viral when it was shared worldwide, including on the Chinese video sharing site Youku. It got almost 3 million views and 40,000 comments in the first 10 days. But many of the comments suggested she's playing the elevator game.
What's the elevator game? Taking a brief moment to give a shout out to Liquid Death. Trust me, this water is as pure as it gets. A veritable cleansing ritual for your system. It's my go-to drink when we're diving into all things mysterious and eerie. Try some Liquid Death.
The elevator game, also called the lift ritual, or elevator to another world, originated in Korea and Japan around 2011, which is just 2 years before Elisa's death. It's believed to be a step-by-step ritual to enter another dimension.
Yeah, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to play this game.
Well, you can blur the lines of reality and travel to another dimension, or even encounter supernatural entities.
Okay, but how does this game work?
There are a few variations, but basically you need a building with a lift and 10 floors.
Okay, did the Cecil have 10 floors?
Yes, it had 15 floors above the lobby, not counting the basement.
Okay, and what floor was Elisa staying on?
Initially, she was in a shared room on the fifth floor, but later moved to the fourth floor after those complaints about her erratic behavior.
Right.
Well, to play the elevator game, you start with a building with 10 floors, and you have to enter a sequence of buttons in order to get into this other dimension. You press the buttons in a specific order, and that's part of the game.
Okay, so what's the order?
Well, there are different variations, but most of the rules say you get in on the lobby, go to the fourth floor, go down to the second floor, up to the sixth floor, and back down to the second floor. And then go all the way back up to the fourth floor, then down to the fifth floor. And you cannot get off on any floors.
What happens if you get off on one of the floors?
Some say you have to just start over, but others say you could get trapped in the other dimension forever.
Why would anyone play this game? Do we know what buttons Elisa pushed?
Well, in the video, it kind of looks like she's pressing the whole left side of buttons in the three columns of numbers. And in that case, it would have been 12, 9, 6, 3. But it's also possible, because the video is a little grainy, you can't see, she could be pushing 14, 10, 7, 4. There's a specific rule in the elevator game that you cannot talk to anyone specifically on the fifth floor, or that person will try to trap you in the other dimension.
Oh my gosh, this game does not sound worth it. I mean, if you want to talk to someone in another dimension, you should use tarot cards or a seance or something. So what floor was the video recorded from?
Well, she was on the 14th floor when she boarded the lift. She presses the sequence of buttons and then backs into the corner quite normally and waits for the doors to close. But for some reason, they do not. And then she peeks out of the lift to the right, and it looks like she's checking if someone's holding the buttons, preventing the door from closing. But very quickly, she ducks back in and hides in the corner near the buttons. And the doors still don't close.
Maybe there was someone out there, like, pushing, holding the button. Like, I could see why she would stick her head out.
Possibly, because it doesn't make sense that the lift doesn't move for 4 minutes. And in this time, she goes in and out, appears to be talking to someone. She's also making really weird gestures with her hands.
What sort of gestures?
Almost like she's like reading a crystal ball, like she's making a ball shape with her hands.
Okay, that's weird.
Well, she completely exits and stands to the left of the doors, and for a few minutes comes back into the lift, holds her hands up near her head, like almost covering her ears, and then presses the same sequence of buttons and waits, and nothing happens. So she goes back out and motions in and out of the lift with her hand, like trying to see if there's a sensor or something. And then looks like maybe she's counting. She makes that weird crystal ball shape. And she, I mean, she could also be very animatedly describing something with her hands. She stands there for a few and then goes out of frame. The whole time, the lift doors have stayed open.
Hmm.
Eventually, they close, reopen a few seconds later to what looks like the same floor because the walls are the exact same color. It's like a bluish black color.
Okay.
Then they close again and reopen a few seconds later on another floor with red walls. Here, I'm going to send you the video and go ahead and watch it and describe it to our viewers.
Okay. Okay, so the door's opening. She walks in. She has like a red hoodie on. It looks like she just hit... It's kind of grainy. It looks like she just hit four buttons. That's weird. She's like hiding up against where the buttons are.
Mm-hmm. So that if someone was outside, they couldn't see her.
Right. Now she's standing in like the doorway. She's taking a step out. She's kind of looking. Looks like she just did a box step dance. Now, okay, so now she's out completely, but I see her arm and what she's doing. Puts her arms up. I guess that's what you said, like her hands are on her ears or whatever.
Yeah, they're like almost like maybe she's being held hostage, you know, like raising your hands.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so now she's back in the elevator. She pushes the same buttons over again. It looks like she did it twice.
Mm-hmm. The exact same buttons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why people think she was playing the elevator game.
She comes out. She's just standing in front of the elevator. I can see like, oh, well, there it looks like she's talking to somebody. Yeah, she's kind of doing that crystal ball thing you said. I mean, like, if the elevator's not working, I can see why you would be like, no, this looks weird. She's doing, like, weird hand gestures.
Mm-hmm.
It does look like she was talking to someone. Now she's disappeared. But, like, what I was saying before is, like, if the elevator's not working, I can see you kind of, like, pushing buttons, sticking your head out, looking if someone can help you, trying to see where the stairs are, maybe... Now nothing's happening.
Yeah, it takes a couple minutes for the doors to close, and then it looks like the same floor, and then it opens again on a different floor.
Okay, so the doors just closed, and now they just opened up again, and it does look like the same floor. It's like a checkered pattern, but she's not there. Now the doors are closing again. Maybe the elevator was broken. It looked like she was talking to somebody outside the elevator, though. Were the doors red before in the background? Is this a different floor?
Yeah, that's a different floor, but I think they all look the same. And okay. I don't know what floor that was. I know it started on the 14th floor.
Yeah, that was weird. Okay, so that's the last footage they have of this girl? And there's no audio or anything?
No, that would sure help if there was.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really creepy. Did you see the blurs in the lift? Like, almost like figures.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's, like, spirits or maybe just pixelation from the video. But I do see them.
Yeah, I can see why people were concerned. Because the hand gestures are odd. Her foot movement. She does, like, a box step. That was odd. Oh, wait. What was with the timestamp? Because that seemed weird, too.
Well, I think it's... been edited, like blurred by the police department, and I'm not sure why they would do that. Maybe because it's evidence.
Okay. Yeah, and it did look like a different floor after the door opened and closed. It would be interesting to see if anyone knows what color the floors were painted at that time, so then we could know where it stops.
Well, I tried to research it, and I couldn't find any notation on what colors the Cecil are and if they're even the same colors, but it's definitely a different floor than the 14th.
So does the 14th floor have any significance?
Interestingly enough, the 14th floor is actually the 13th floor. A lot of hotels and businesses will rename the 13th floor to be the 14th floor because the number 13 is deemed unlucky.
Yeah, they do that in airplanes too. It's like, it's still 13. We can pretend, but
yeah.
We're still sitting in 13. Yeah. The number 13 has significance in numerology too. It like focuses on like independence, creativity, and a secure foundation. I've heard it's been associated with karma, but not necessarily luck. Though if you have bad karma coming to you, it could also mean bad luck. Did anything else happen on this floor?
Besides multiple suicides and overdoses, this was also the floor Richard Ramirez stayed on.
Ah, the Night Stalker, right?
Yes, who raped, killed, and tortured dozens of people in Los Angeles between 1984 and 1985. He was staying at the Cecil as his permanent residence during the time of these killings.
Didn't they have, like, they had a camera in the elevator. Didn't they have any other cameras?
Not in the 1980s.
Oh, my God.
The Night Stalker was around.
Yeah.
But this section of L.A. was very rough at the time, and it said he paid only $14 a night for his room on the 14th floor, and he would walk down the hallway to use the shared bathroom in only his underwear, which happened to be covered in blood.
Oh, my God. And you're telling me nobody reported him?
Well, this hotel was a very much keep to yourself and mind your business place at that time. And there were many shady activities that were taking place at the Cecil and the surrounding Skid Row.
Well, yeah, for $14 a night, anybody could be staying there, you know, like... Going back to American Horror Story season, that's like loosely based on this hotel. I remember there was like a Devil's Night, like the night before Halloween, when all the notorious guest ghosts come back for like one night of murder. Any chance that she could have been talking to a ghost of the Night Stalker?
Well, there have been other podcasts and documentaries on this that suggest that. But it's impossible because even though he was sentenced to death, he ended up dying of cancer nearly 6 months after Elisa went missing on June 7th, 2013. So it was not the ghost of the Night Stalker.
I don't know. Well, what about the other serial killer? Didn't you say there was another serial killer that stayed at the Cecil?
Jack Underwiger. He was also known as the Austrian Ripper. He committed a series of murders in Austria and the United States in the 1970s through the 1990s.
Wow. It's a long time.
Yeah. He stayed at the Cecil in the early 1990s. He was a convicted rapist and murderer who had been released from prison in Austria, and then he subsequently became a journalist.
It's crazy.
He used this new job as a cover to commit a new series of gruesome murders. And he often targeted sex workers. And we know the Cecil is known as a working place for these at the time.
Mm.
His stay at the hotel during this time in Los Angeles is just another chilling chapter in the hotel's dark history.
You know, serial killers back in the day, it was like the Wild West. There's no DNA. I don't know if they were doing fingerprints. Like, they were getting away with all kinds of stuff back then.
He was eventually apprehended in Florida, and then he was convicted of multiple murders, including some that he committed in Los Angeles. But he died in prison in Austria by suicide, June 29th, 1994.
Wow, that's interesting.
Also, Elisa's autopsy didn't show any signs of trauma.
That's weird, don't you think?
Yes, but it should be noted that her lower regions were prolapsed and filled with blood, due to bloat from being in the water for 2 weeks.
Mm.
So it's impossible to know that there was no sexual assault.
So, well, what about the toxicology report? Like, were there any drugs in her system? Things that would have caused, like, hallucinations?
That would explain her odd behavior, though no significant traces of any drugs or alcohol were found in her system.
Hmm.
This ruled out the possibility that substance abuse played a role in her death.
Interesting.
Though during her time in the tank being over 2 weeks, it could have also skewed the results. It should be mentioned that in her autopsy report, it's listed she had a history of bipolar disorder, and she had been prescribed medication for this disorder.
Hmm. I mean, like, I've known people who have bipolar disorder, but they don't... I've never seen them, like, talking to themselves and doing weird stuff like that.
Well, I don't know much about bipolar disorder, but I think it's like exactly like it says. It's like extreme changes in mood. So you'll be happy or sad, angry. You just go back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it has anything to do with hallucinations, like kind of what they're trying to say she was doing on the video.
Mm-hmm.
But it's possible that she was suffering from schizophrenia, which does have hallucinations.
I was about to say schizophrenia would explain some of that behavior.
But her family said she was never suicidal.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually seen the day before at a bookstore. She was buying souvenirs for her family, and she was talking about how she was going to get the books home. So she was planning to leave that day.
Wow, that's so scary. Because I'm like a huge fan of like solo girl travel. Like, just go and experience things by yourself and all that. And you hear stuff like this, it makes it so scary.
Yeah, I've traveled by myself, and stories like this make me want to reconsider.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, thank God we both came back safe, but some people don't. Like, she went on vacation and just never came back. So sad.
Well, the store clerk at the bookstore said she seemed completely normal, friendly, and outgoing.
Well, wait, you mentioned she moved rooms because how she was treating her roommates. Like, what exactly was she doing?
This is so weird. She was writing them notes and telling them that they should leave for their own safety. And then she locked them out of the room and wouldn't let them back in unless they had the password, which she had never given them. And it was just, in general, weirding them out.
Yeah. Yeah, that's weird. But she was right, honestly. I mean, yeah, maybe they should have left for their own safety. Maybe she should have. So wait, how do you think she ended up in the water tank?
Well, from the 14th floor, there is a stairway that leads up to the 15th and then the roof. But that door has an alarm on it. And if there was no reported sounds of that alarm going off on that day. There's also another way up to the roof, which is the fire escape. And that's actually where search dogs tracked her scent. They tracked it to the window that leads to the fire escape. But they couldn't pick the scent back up when they got to the roof.
So once she was on the roof, was there like a ladder? Like, how did she get into the water tank?
Well, once you're on the roof, there is a small ladder up to a platform, which has four large water tanks. Hmm. And then there's another ladder that leads about 10 feet up onto the top of the tanks. Each of the tanks has a metal lid, which weighs about 20 pounds, and it would have been impossible to close it after you got into the tank.
Hmm.
And depending on the water level, it may have been impossible to get out once you got in.
So when they found the tank, was the top closed?
This has also been reported differently in depending where you hear it. Mm-hmm. So it's a topic of debate. Some say yes, it was closed, and the maintenance worker who found her body is unsure if it was closed or opened, and he definitely left it open after he called the police.
I don't know why. I just get a feeling she was hiding from someone.
Yeah, that makes sense. If she was killed and put inside the tank or dropped in unconscious, it would have been super difficult to carry her up that 10-foot ladder. Not necessarily impossible, but I too think she was hiding from something chasing her. Possibly the same thing she was hiding from when she hid in the corner of the lift.
Oh, right. Yeah. So if she did go in there on her own accord to hide, there are really three possibilities. So she's either running from an actual person that she's afraid of, or two, she's suffering from some sort of hallucination and she felt she needed to hide from that, or she was able to see something that most of us can't see and was trying to hide from that.
So no elevator game? A large number of people on Reddit and TikTok say it was the game.
Well, that does make sense, because we do see her like constantly pushing. Like, why would you push multiple buttons up and down?
Well, we may never know. One thing's for sure, the Cecil's cursed.
Yeah, I will definitely agree with that. Before we sign off, we want to make sure you're a part of our journey in uncovering the unexplained. If you liked what you heard today, please subscribe to The Grave Veil on your preferred podcast platform.
And we're not just on podcasts. We're also pretty active on social media.
Well, that's right. You can find us on Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok for exclusive behind-the-scenes content and updates. Don't forget to engage with us. We'd love to hear your thoughts and your theories.
Got a case you want us to dive into? Feel free to email us at graveveil@gmail.com. Or drop us a message on any of our social platforms.
We'll be diving deeper into more eerie cases and uncanny phenomena. So stay tuned and stay curious. Until next time, this is Sierra Nizance.
And I'm Polly Andrium.
And we're signing off from the Grave Veil, where we lift the shroud off the world's darkest mysteries. Take care, ghoulies.
And always keep your eyes open. You never know what's lurking in the shadows.